Thank you, as usual, praise team. That was very moving today. Let us go once more to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before your throne now as we prepare to hear your words, Lord. Words that you spoke, Lord, that your apostles spoke, Lord, that your Holy Spirit speaks to us this morning. Father, we thank you that we have this opportunity to hear your word. I just ask that you remove me from it and let your Spirit speak for itself through that word. And in Jesus' most precious name, I pray all of this. Amen. This is not really part of the sermon, but I just got informed a few minutes ago the memorial service they were having for Charlie Kirk in Arizona, they were expecting 100,000 people. 300,000 people have shown up. And most of them are there not to just honor Charlie's life, but to honor the God that he served. May we be found faithful as such. So, transitioning, today's sermon is going to be from Matthew 12, 34 through 37. It's called Every Idle Word. But I almost named this sermon, The Holy Just Shut Up Already. Okay, because idle words do us damage. Idle words cause division. Idle words are a scourge upon us. But we are so frequently found to be uttering such words. And I want you to know, before you think I'm just fussing at people, I was looking square in the mirror because I myself am guilty of saying idle words at times. So this applies to my life as well as anybody who's hearing this. And as we kind of mentioned over the last week, I've observed a national conversation regarding we as Americans and even we as Christians speak to one another. And we don't do a very good job of it. We get upset, we get angry, we get frustrated, and we say things we really don't mean. And sometimes, yes, we see the finger in the mirror pointing right back in our own face going, you're a hypocrite because you do this. And that's right, we all do this. And we have to understand that we are not to do this. I believe God challenges us, our human ways of communication, our ways of being comfortable in the way we speak to each other. And that's a good thing. We need to be challenged because that's not always the good thing that we're doing. We need to be cognizant of the way we talk to each other and how we feel about that communication. You know, we do get very agitated if we see a parent savagely berating a child with terms like grossly stupid, Lord, and I'm guilty of that myself, or ignorant idiot, or things like that, mainly because deep down we know that if one loves another, such declarations are not helpful and can be destructive. What of spouses who constantly condemn each other? Anybody who's ever been married or in a deep, intimate relationship with someone knows sometimes we say things we don't mean in moments of anger or jealousy or rage or whatever it may be. And sometimes it can be so bad and the criticism so hard that it comes to the point of divorce over trivial matters. Indeed, to ask the one criticizing with the words, their words are justified and even necessary to teach that person a lesson or some other inane reason, all the while never seeing the hurt and division they themselves cause. And we are all guilty of this to some degree. But let me make it clear. There are times when standing firm against evil is needed. There are times when you have to say something. When you stand firm in the gospel, as we just got through singing about. We need to have discernment, though. And that is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Or a fruit of the Holy Spirit also. Discernment. That is when we can take the Holy Spirit and judge a person's words, including our own, whether it's necessary, whether it's strengthening, whether it's edifying, or whether it's not. So let me make that clear. But such times calls for firmness in love and not arrogant pride. Our words all come before our God, and we will give an account to each one that we utter. That scares me to death, folks, because I've said some dumb things in my life. I've seen some hurtful things in my life. I have accused people of things just because I felt bad about them when I didn't know the story, when I didn't understand. It's like the old saying where you go to a home and you see a guy run out and he's covered in blood and carrying a knife and you go inside and you see a dead person. That person may be dead and you immediately accuse, well, what if that person was the friend or brother or father or spouse of the person that was killed and they found the attacker and they fought him off and got covered in blood? We don't know the whole story about an action. We need to do so with grace and truth as we are commanded by our Lord. So, that being said, if we begin to feel uncomfortable because the Spirit convicts you about speaking idle or careless words. Good. Buckle up. Matthew 12, 34 through 37 says this, and this is Jesus himself speaking. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by the words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. That's scary, folks. Let me rephrase that verse 36. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Now, Christians, that's for us the judgment seat of Christ. We will stand before Him and give an account of our lives. We're saved, absolutely. We don't lose our salvation. But we still are going to have to give an account of our hearts, our minds, before the Lord who bought us with His blood. And for those that are not saved, they will stand before the great white throne in judgment. I don't want to be there. I want to be with Christ at His judgment seat. So I repeated that about every idle word. But 37 is just important. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. What words do you speak? Do you speak love, mercy, encouragement? Or do you speak criticism, anger, bitterness? Those words give an account of what your heart is feeling. And if your heart is in Christ, you should be feeling the former and not the latter. But sometimes we must say harsh words, but not evil words. There's a difference. When you say a harsh word, when you're trying to set somebody straight, none of us want to hear, and especially if you're a married man, you don't want to hear, you're wrong. Our pride gets hurt. It really does. And we try to say, well, why am I wrong? We're wrong when we're wrong. It doesn't matter what we feel about it. If I tell you the sun is going to explode tomorrow and it doesn't, well, that means I'm wrong, correct? If I say any number of things, this person's never going to be good, he's never going to get right, he's condemned, that is not the truth. All men can believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. All women can have faith and be saved by the blood of Christ, not our own works, not how good we are, because not one of us can stand before God and say, I've never said anything bad, I've never thought anything bad. I don't care what preacher you are, what teacher you are, what person in government or whatever it may be. You, at some point in your life, from the moment you realize the difference between right and wrong, have done wrong. Because we as humans are bent on that. You want to get into the original sin argument and all that stuff, that's fine. But I'm telling you, you don't have to teach a child to tell a lie. You got to teach them not to. You got to walk with them and show them by example what the right thing is to do. You got to point them to God and say, this is the judge. This is the person that gives us the rules we live our hearts and our lives by. And we have to pay attention to Him. Well, what does that word mean? Idle words. Well, in the Greek, it's rhema argon. The word argon means not only idle, it means non-constructive, not being used, but also barren, without fruit. Slow, useless, careless, or lazy. Have you ever spoken any words like that? These words sow disunity, division, bitterness, and confusion. Doesn't sound like a nice party, does it, when you have all those things floating around? They do not encourage, but they tear down another's faith, their love, and their joy. I've had people, they can't stand seeing somebody else happy. They can't stand seeing someone rejoicing. They're so miserable in their own life, their sole purpose is to stir the pot. How many of y'all have heard that before? I had a partner in the ambulance service. He was my driver. And let me tell you something. All the time, he wanted to make people angry. He liked to get their goat. And his exact words, I live to stir the pot. I didn't work for him very long because I like to eat what's in the pot, not stir it. So, and for folks like that, as the Bible says, there's death in that pot. We have to be careful of the words. Do they give life or do they breed death? What shall we do? We shall concentrate on being the Son of the living God through Jesus Christ. We are children. We are heirs to the living God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we can say He is the one that guides our heart and guides our tongue. We'll speak to the tongue more a efficiently here in a minute. So we need to not stir the pot by angry criticism of others' efforts. There is no grace in such words, only discord and demonic influence. It's the old Flip Wilson line. Folks, if you know who Flip Wilson is, you're as old as I am or even older. The devil made me do it. And you know, sometimes we joke about that, but sometimes he's the one that influences us. He cannot control us if we belong to Jesus Christ, but he can influence us by others, by direct in our mind, however it may be. Don't listen to him. And when you want to speak harshly or you want to criticize someone without cause, just because you're angry, just because you're mad, do not listen. Give words of life. And folks, again, I'm not addressing standing in faith and being bold against sinful action. I'm addressing the mean-spirited pride that some people use to make others, to make themselves feel superior to others. That's what we have to avoid. David himself cried out in Psalm 141, verse 3, "Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips." If anyone has a reason to fuss, it was David. Think about all the things that happened in his life. Most of it his own fault. But still, a lot of his enemies were coming after him. His own kids came after him. Think about that. If anyone had a reason to fuss, he did. But he asked God himself to put a door or to put a watch before his mouth and a door on his lips. Later on in the New Testament, Paul told the Ephesian church the following in Ephesians 5:6, "Let no man deceive you with vain words, but because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience." I looked up vain because I want to make sure it just doesn't mean philosophy and things like that. Vain has basically the same meaning as idle. Do not let someone anger you or confuse you with bad words coming out of your mouth, because such things cause God's wrath upon the children of disobedience when we use idle, vain, or prideful words that they use. We don't speak like them. We don't act like them. What I mean them, those that do not know Jesus Christ. We don't talk like the world. We don't act like the world. We must act in the world, obviously, or we wouldn't have jobs or anything else. But we have to set our feet firmly in the truth of the gospel and act like it. And it's a hard thing to act like God wants us to act when the world is acting like, as my grandma's favorite word, a bunch of hellions. How many of y'all remember that word? That goes back a while. But that's what the world acts like because they do not know anything of God. They only know the basic morals. And even then, we know the difference between right and wrong. Romans 1 tells us that. But man chooses to do wrong because of his prideful heart, because of his selfishness, because of his arrogance, because I want to be better than somebody else. We are not to do that, brothers and sisters, ever. Ever. Why? Because as Jesus said, we covered it, "For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Thus we are admonished to speak good to and for each other." It's hard to do that. Why? Because James tells us in 3:8, "But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison." But folks, God can tame our tongue. The Lord Jesus Christ can silence us at the moment that we are going to say something stupid. But we have to be willing to be obedient in that moment. If we're not obedient, what good is having faith? Now, obedience does not save us. Faith saves us. Grace through faith. But once we are changed, once we are born again, we have a life dedicated to the service of the Lord God Almighty. The tongue no man can tame, but Jesus is not just any man, is he? He is fully man, and he's fully God. Did he ever get mad? Absolutely. There's that time he went to the temple, and he saw all the people buying and selling and cheating each other. And what did he do? He took a whip, and he turned over some tables and ran around. But it did not say he was fussing and cussing at them. He just said, "My Father's house shall be called a house of prayer, and not a den of thieves." That was not ungodly words. So there are times when you can be righteously angry and speak words, but not in an ungodly, arrogant way. It is truly a foolish person who drinks poison themselves and then expects the other person to die. And when we speak evil words, that's what we're doing. We're taking poison, our heart, our mind, an ungodly spirit into our lives when we say things like that. The target is the one to whom we give the destructive words. Again, James 4:11 and 12 says this, "Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Who are we to judge people by our words? Who are we to say, you're wrong, you're evil, you're going to hell? A lot of people will try to say that. We've got whole denominations set up. God chose some to go to heaven and some to go to hell. I don't believe that. God knows, but God gives us the ability to choose and to walk the narrow way. And when we do, we honor Him, and we will be blessed, not only with eternal life, but life here and now. Not the best life now, but the life that God gives you to be a tool, to be a fortress for those that can come to you. One of the good things I love about the ministry that we had speak this morning, no matter the background, people can go to them for help, and they are willing to give that help. They are willing to stand in the gap. That's the name of their ministry. When that person needs someone to support them, to help them, to love them. And it's a glorious thing. Why can't we all do that? That God puts people in our lives to do such a thing. Many of you have, and God bless you for it. But some of us have said, well, I don't like that kind of person. I don't like this over here. I don't like that over here. You know what? God is not impressed with your likes or don't likes. He is King. And He says, do it. You better do it. That's why I told you to buckle up, because I'm not pulling no punches here. We got to get our lives straight first before we can get our country and our church and anything else straight. We have to be accountable to God Almighty. And when we are blessed. God does not condemn us. There is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. We live by that. For that is important to us. And part of that is not speaking evil of one another. Now, my main context is within the church, because when I was listening to all these conversations this week, people were saying, oh, if you go this way or you go that way, you trust this guy or you follow this guy, you're evil, you're not really Christian. And those folks wouldn't know the Bible if someone hit them in the head with it. And sometimes that needs to happen. Brother Marty? Yes, that's it. So, yep, I do. I've got a few hymnal marks on the back of my head for over the years, but... So we are not to judge one another. However, we are to use discernment to decide what is right and what is wrong. Behavior in our lives and whatever God puts in front of us. Does it follow the law of God? Does it follow Scripture? Now, we're not under law, we're under grace, and thank God for that. But God wants us to follow the law because Jesus came to complete the law. He came to fulfill the law. Therefore, if God says don't murder, we don't murder. If God says don't steal, we don't steal. If God says love one another, then we love one another. If God says don't speak idle words, then we are not to speak idle words. I kind of got onto the men's ministry yesterday. I was doing the devotion. Same thing. I just expanded on it. But folks, I know there are times, we men especially, we want to say something negative. We want to feel, because we feel harshly about something, whether it's harsh good or harsh bad. We just got to say something. Sometimes we need to hear the Holy just shut up already. Let God do what God does. Let Him in a person's life. Let Him have the glory that something good has. And I give God all the glory for all the lives that He has touched here today, whether they're our church members or our guests. He gets the glory. And He gets the eternal praise that, as we sang, we will all stand before the throne praising God forever and ever. And I thank God for that. Now, going back to who are we to judge one another? Again, we use discernment when we deal with those. But when we carry it too far, we become like our true enemy. Ecclesiastes 10, 11 through 14 says this. And remember, Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, wrote this. Surely the serpent would bite without enchantment. A babbler is no better. He's talking about a babbler, someone who uses idle words, is no better than a serpent. Who is in the Garden of Eden running his mouth? A babbler does the same thing. We put ourselves in a good situation, and because of whatever, our own feelings or whatever, we start babbling, we start talking, we start using these words. That is not good. What happened to Adam and Eve? Sorry, Lord, I think the devil's trying to stop my voice, so y'all pray for me. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. The beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is mischievous madness. Verse 14, a fool also is full of words. A man cannot tell what shall be and what shall be after him. Who can tell him? Somebody that just keeps on and keeps on and keeps on about something and won't shut up, even when they don't know anything, there to be a voice. Brothers and sisters, they stir the pot, and we are to be very, very careful when we are dealing with folks like that. Because we do want to be gracious, we do want to be loving, we do want to be kind, but we also want to be careful. We don't want to approve of evil actions. We want to stand firm in the faith, but brothers and sisters, sometimes we mess up, and sometimes our emotions get the best of us. But, as I taught the last couple of Sundays, John tells us that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to what? Forgive us of our sins. And that includes the idle words that we speak in moments of anger, madness, or bitterness. So I'm thankful for that. The ones that use foolish words is a babbler's. A serpent bites. But what of righteous words? Proverbs 10, verse 31 and 32 tells us, "The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue," froward is the King James word of saying perverted, "shall be cut out." Who is going to cut out that perverse tongue? God Himself. Now, He's going to use many different ways to do it. And I hope He uses it by the blood of Jesus Christ, taking out that perverse tongue that you're speaking with as an unsaved person. And once you're saved, once you know Christ, you will speak love and grace and mercy to people. Verse 32, "The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh perverseness." A wicked mouth speaks perversion. When you speak wickedly either about someone or to someone, you are speaking a twisted, perverted version of what's going on. Like we said earlier, you may not know the full story. If you just say in judgment, "Well, that person is evil, that person's bad, that person's wrong," they may be. They may be, but pointing it out in an arrogant manner, does that help? Pointing out the truth of the gospel is not wrong. It never can be wrong. But how you approach it. If you've got someone who's living in sin, and I mean desperately living in sin, whatever it may be, addiction, morals, whatever, and you attack them, you may be right by the letter of the law, but the law killeth. It is grace that gives mercy. And if we know the grace of Jesus Christ, then we should know enough grace to say the right thing. And if you don't know what to say in that moment, ask Him. Didn't we read earlier in Matthew that if you're going to stand before councils and kings and the synagogue and everywhere else, don't worry about what you're going to say in that moment. For God Himself, the Holy Spirit, will give you what to say in that moment. And that's the best teacher in the world to listen to such things. Thus, how are we to speak to each other? Two texts come immediately to mind. Ephesians 4:29, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying or strengthening, that it may minister grace unto hearers." And 1 Peter 3:10-11, "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil," that means walk away from it, "and do good. Let him seek peace and ensure it." So both Peter and Paul, I would argue two of the greatest apostles out of all of them, said these things. No corrupt communication come out of our mouth, except that which is good for edifying, for strengthening, that it may give grace to the hearers. And that he that will love life and see good days, let him eschew evil, and let his refrain his tongue from that evil, and his lips that they speak nothing evil. Let him seek peace and ensure it. Do what you can to live at peace with all men. Sometimes that's impossible, especially if they don't know God. But do everything you can before God to say the right things and live the right way. So how do we apply this to our sermon? First, as my grandma used to say, if you can't say something good about or to a person, sit down and hush up. And she said that a lot to me. Number two, if you do have something to say, and sometimes we must, ask the Holy Spirit for wisdom and the exact words to say, and He will give that to you. Number three, keep personal opinion to yourself if it tears a person down who is trying to be godly. Not justifying sinful act, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about someone who's trying their best to do what is right, to live a godly life. If you want to criticize them, keep it to yourself. Number four, admonish when you have to in a spirit of love, of brotherhood, of sisterhood, if it is needed. But always remember, you will answer for every idle word that you speak. So brothers and sisters, I want to say this.
I am guilty of idle words also. And I have asked the Lord's forgiveness numerous times, and I probably will in the future. My purpose is to preach the word and live by example. From this point forward, if I hear a brother or sister complain in an ungodly or arrogant manner about one of his or her fellow Christians, do not expect a soft response from me. Again, we can express concern and love for one another without tearing each other down. We can even joke about each other sometimes in certain aspects, in certain ways, but not mean about it. We are to stand firm in the faith in matters of morality and doctrine. We do so in a spirit of compassion and obedience to God first and foremost, without excuse and without exception. All must be done in the bonds of love and peace centered on the truth of God's Word and the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now, do you understand why I named this sermon "The Holy Just Shut Up Already"? Because there are times when we need to just be quiet and listen to what the Holy Spirit is doing in our hearts to help others, to love others, to strengthen others, to encourage others. We need to encourage each other. This world is going to hell in a handbasket, folks. We know that's what's going to happen. We can read Ezekiel, we can read Daniel, we can read Revelation, we can read Jesus' words at the Mount Olivet Discourse in Matthew. We know what's coming. We must be prepared. And part of that preparation is not having an evil spirit that wants to call down fire on people. We must love and encourage. Yes, we want evil judged by God Himself, but we cannot be God. And when we talk in idle words, we act like we are. So brothers and sisters, refrain your tongue and let the Lord set a guard upon your lips so that He may guide everything that you say in every situation you find yourself in. I'm through fussing at you now. Praise team.